Apparently, what I've been hearing is that they've been welcomed back already, so it's like they've never left. Yeah. So that's a good thing, though, because it just strengthens up the side.
Look, I think it's a great thing. You know, you've done your time, you've done your punishment. Come back in. If you're worthy to have a spot there, come back in. I think it's great, and I think it's going to be great for cricket.
Also, the strength that they bring to the side, when you look at their performances over the last few years, they've been phenomenal. So it's absolutely going to strengthen the side for the World Cup, and that puts us probably a little bit in front of the rest, the pack, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think, and their walk-up starts for the Ashes?
Absolutely. If they perform just mediocre in the World Cup, they'll still be in the Ashes side, there's no doubt. When you look at that World Cup side, they've only picked five specialist batsmen, so including Warner and Smith. So I just can't see them bringing anyone else in for the Test series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, mate. But obviously, for our listeners out there, we're talking to Graham Yallop, captain Australia for 7 Tests, 39 Tests overall, 13 Ashes Tests as well, 8 tons, 9.5 centuries. A superb average of 41.1, and the best thing of all, Graham, a good left-hander. So for all our listeners out there, mate, we're talking to Australian test cricketer here, mate. So we want to just rip into a few questions while we can. I think 00's got one for you.
Yeah, Graham, mate, you were captain during the World Series cricket debacle. How did that really affect cricket in Australia? Because a lot of us, like me, like Muzza wasn't even born when that happened, so he doesn't know anything about it. But that really divided the country.
And all.
I'm a doyen of the game, Graham. Don't worry about that.
It really divided the country, didn't it?
Oh, look, it did. It did. Basically, there was the main Australian side defected to our friend Mr. Packer. But there was a few of us who remained loyal to Australian cricket. It really did alter the format of Australian cricket forever, I suppose.
Look, on that, do you think that it also enhanced the payment for players, like having that division split and the players getting big money, and then now what we see the players getting paid, do you think that was the start of that?
Look, some people reckon it was, but I'm just have my doubts, because during the mid-80s there was that defection to South Africa because of the pay. There was no one on a contract, so unless you actually played a match for Australia, you weren't paid, and they expected us to train all the time and every day, there was no security from that perspective. So we were a little bit of a loss, and that's why there was that defection to South Africa.
And obviously, Graham, you took over as an Australian captain during that period. How was it, the challenge of obviously taking over, particularly the Test team going into that Ashes series? How was that, and how was the feeling around the camp?
That was pretty ordinary, I can assure you. I was the most experienced player, and I'd only played 8 Test matches. Everyone else had sort of played none or one or two. So we were up against it from the start, against a very, very strong England side. So, mate, we did okay. We won a Test match, so that was good. And we won the one-day series against England. So, again, that was a highlight. But overall, we were just crunched.
Your best Test series, I've got some stats here, but what was your best Test series, do you think, for a personal note?
Oh, probably against Pakistan.
Yep.
In Australia. I think, I'm not quite
I'll,
sure.
I'll read it out for you.
It was about 92, I can't remember.
92.33, 554 runs.
It's a fair series.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'd like to have that done every year. That'd be nice.
Mate, and that was with your highest score ever, 268 runs, and that was a marathon innings.
Yeah, that was about just on 8 hours, so that was a long time to bat in the middle, I can assure you. I was pretty tired by the end.
I usually can't stay awake that long these days, but yeah.
That's it.
Mate, the 100 that you scored in that first Test as captain, was that a bit of a highlight considering, I guess, the pressure that you're under? I think you put on about 170 with Kim Hughes. Considering the situation, was that a big highlight of yours?
Well, it was probably a minor highlight when I look back on it.
Yeah.
But I suppose it was a feat, but all I was really concerned about is getting crunched in 3 days. I was thinking, God, they're going to beat us in 3 days, but we made it to the last day, so I was pretty happy about that. But it's from a personal point of view, I was happy with the way I was batting at the time.
And your bowling stats stack up very well as well.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
An average of 100.
How many wickets did I get?
You got one, mate.
So. Yeah, oh, did I? Oh, okay.
Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, one of the guys who couldn't see very well from the Indian Test team.
Oh, that is good. Graham, who was the best? Obviously, you played with some great cricketers. Who was the best Australian batsman that you played with, and who was the best you played against?
There were some great players that I played with. There was Greg Chappell. I thought he was one of the great players of Australian cricket. Doug Walters, again, in my first game that I played with Doug. But there was Alan Border, I suppose, when you look at the longevity of Alan. He made some fantastic runs for Australia in some very difficult circumstances. There was a number through the years that I felt were fabulous players, but didn't play a lot of test matches, as you know, back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and maybe into the 70s. We didn't play a lot of test matches per year, but compared to what they're playing now. So it's pretty hard to sort of compare the eras.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess a lot of people do remember, Graham, you kind of revolutionised wearing the helmet for being the first international cricketer to do so. I wanted to ask you, when you were walking out to face the West Indians that day, like, did they give you some banter? Like, what was the talk like as you're walking out? Because obviously it was such a foreign thing.
It was, but I wasn't the first. Some of the Englishmen had worn it before me.
Oh, okay.
But don't forget, you probably don't remember, but I did suffer a broken jaw. I was probably, it was probably very important for me. So the medico said that I did wear some sort of helmet to protect my jaw. So, I was pretty concerned about getting hit again. And those boys bowled pretty quick, as you probably might remember.
Oh, absolutely. Who was the quickest?
I reckon it was Michael Holding. I recall that he did bowl a ball, and it was recorded at 163.3.
Wow.
And that's pretty quick, and that's quicker than anything you'll see today. But the worst part about that is that not only was there Michael Holding, but there was three others who bowled about the 150 mark.
Yeah.
So there was no respite, and they never had a spinner. I wonder why they never had a spinner.
Yeah.
They didn't need it. So, mate, it was pretty interesting batting against those guys.
One day cricket really started up during your test career. You played 31 day matches for Australia, a fantastic achievement. How have you seen the progression of one day cricket, the involvement, and now the demise of the 50 over game?
I don't know whether it's right with the demise of the 50 over game or not. I'm tending to believe that it'll be around for a little while longer, but from an interest point of view, it's all about 2020, isn't it?
Yeah.
The big bash.
Yeah.
So, that concerns me a little bit because the youngsters that I coach now are all wanting to emulate the big bash boys, and they want to try and whack the thing out of sight and over the fence, and it just doesn't develop the players very well. So that's one sort of thing against it, but from an interest perspective and watching it on TV, it's fabulous.
So when you were a young fella, was there any inclination from any of your coaches to bash you over the head and try and get you to bat right-handed? Like, because you're a left-hand batter, but it was pretty different back then, wasn't it?
No, as a matter of fact.
Left-handers.
Don't forget there are 10% of people in the world who are left-handers, so there's a few of us around, particularly in playing cricket. But look, no, they certainly encouraged me from a left-handed point of view. There's a couple of reasonable players that I followed that were great left-handed players. So no, definitely encourage all the left-handers, many as we can find.
Absolutely, mate. Now, we just wanted to quickly touch on Graham. I spoke to you off air, and 00 seems to think that Shane Watson, Australian cricket all rounder, was in the top
Shane
two.
Who?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Shane Watson.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
What are your thoughts on that? Right. Is he kidding himself or?
He is kidding himself. Look, he really is. If you look at the genuine all-rounders of Australian cricket history, you can't go past Keith Miller. Mate, he had a batting average of, round about 37, and he had a bowling average of 22. You know, if you go down the list, you might look at someone like Warwick Armstrong.
Warwick Armstrong, 50 tests.
The big ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 tests, and you know, took 87 wickets and had a batting average of probably 39. And there's other guys back in the day, Jack Gregory, Monty Noble.
This is what I needed,
Graham. At the end of the line, we had Shane Watson.
I needed you the other week, Graham.
I tell you what, not bad considering all of those blokes played before 1960, and Shane Watson in the new era to be the number one all-rounder that Australia's produced.
He's like a dog with a bone, Graham. Now, his stats add up. But...
Now, I know you said that Keith Miller was the best all-rounder Australia's ever produced. I'd like to throw another name out at you. Betty Wilson. Betty Wilson. She played 11 tests, 862 runs at an average of 57. She took 68 wickets at a bowling average of 11.8.
Not bad, girl. Good on her.
Yeah. That's fabulous record.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
But I believe Elise Perry's not that far away or on the way to a pretty successful career.
She's doing all right, isn't she?
Look, we're speaking we're speaking to former Australian Test captain Graham Yalp. Two more, mate, and we'll let you go.
That's right.
What kind of a reception do you think the Warner and Smith will get over in England, considering Sandpapergate?
Yeah, I think they might get a bit of flack from the locals, that's to say the least. But you know, they're bigger than that, and they'll get over it. I think it's only a matter of time where people will forget it. But I don't know whether they'll ever be totally forgiven by a lot of people.
Yeah,
I think that you know, that's a bit of a concern, I suppose, for them. But if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So
I think
that's part of it.
The Barmy Army's got a few songs already lined up for them. I can't wait for that. They're always amusing, aren't they?
They're fantastic. Yeah, love them.
Good on you, Graham. We'll let you go. We just want to appreciate thank you for coming on the show, mate, and appreciate your time.
That's a pleasure. All the best. Is it good weather up there?
It's great weather up here every day of the year, mate. Every day.
Oh, I know. Beautiful one day, perfect the next. Down here, it's raining again.
Oh, no. Graham, you're up there. Thank you so much.